Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me and renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, yeah. So I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome all of you to another episode, another broadcast, another show. Welcome, good morning. It's June 15th, 2019. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. Thank you to everyone that is on the line on this morning. I want to thank my co-host, my guest host, or my host on last week, missionary Terry Rogers, who filled in for me so adequately. Thank God for her. Thank God for her saying that she would certainly fill in for me on last week. I want to give some announcements, and then we're going to do something different on this morning. Those of you that want to listen to Amazing Grace School of Ministry, classes, of course, have ended for this quarter. But if you want to listen to some of the lessons that have been shared, you can do so on www.blogtalkradio.com. The host is Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? And, of course, the name of the classes are Amazing Grace School of Ministry. If you have any questions, if you want to sign up for classes on next term, which the next term will be coming in August or September, excuse me, you can do that by either email me at AmazingGraceMinistries@yahoo.com, and it's abbreviated this way, AmazingGracemin@yahoo.com. You can also send me a text at 309-750-7584. Let's go into our lesson this morning. Certainly, we've been talking about the sin nature. We've been talking about living in a sinful world, and we've been discussing that topic in this month of June. Today's topic is, of course, the topic or the overall topic series is living holy in a sinful world. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about working out, or last week we talked about working out our soul salvation. This week, we're talking about the psychological impact of the sin nature, which the flesh, and the necessity for purifying the flesh. And this morning, I got some news, certainly, that a good friend, sister, is in the hospital, and we want to lift those up that are in the hospital. It looks like, or it seems like, we are walking or living in a time that is so stressful that everything is happening to us all at the same time. And it seems like that there is no time for you to prepare for the next storm before another storm hits you. Before, old school or in the old days, it seems when our parents were coming along, it seemed like that they had time to recuperate from a storm. But we don't have that time anymore. And the storms are coming at a greater length or greater veracity and strength. And it's like the T-storms. It's like the thunderstorms. It's like the weather we have having. Can we just get our 90-degree summers back? But it seems like we're bombarded by all kinds of destruction and all kinds of changes. But the bottom or the ultimate or the culprit to all of the stuff that we're going through is sin. And we're going to pray this morning, and I want to pray before I start. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your son, Jesus, who died upon the cross for us. I thank you, God, that by his stripes we're healed. I want to send up healing. I want to send up prayers to those that are going through the agony of dealing with a loved one who's in the hospital right now in the name of Jesus. I need you to comfort their minds in the name of Jesus. I need the Holy Spirit to strengthen them. Give them the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I need you to move on their behalf right now, God. I'm speaking healing. I'm speaking deliverance. Everybody that's dealing with a loved one that's sick, I'm praying even now for supernatural healing. I'm praying now for supernatural deliverance. I'm praying now, God, that you change the storm. I'm praying now, God, that you intercede. God, you're still a God of healing. You're still God. Hallelujah. You're still God, and there is none other. And we speak comfort. We speak healing. We speak deliverance right now. God, Holy Spirit, have your way on this blog in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, empower us and strengthen us, strengthen our minds, strengthen us. Let us receive the word. Quiet our hearts and our minds and our souls that we will receive your word. And teach us, God. Show us your will. Show us your way, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And certainly we want to lift those up that are going through suffering on this morning. Those of our loved ones that are faced with those that are in the hospital that are seriously ill. And we want to lift those people up. So let's get to the lesson, shall we? Now, let's get to the scriptures that we are reading for this lesson. Scripture, Hebrews 9, 13 through 14. For if the blood of bulls and the goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinklings the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciousness from death and works to serving the living God? Hebrews 4, 12, verses 12 through 13 read, for the word of the Lord is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts of the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. I know I give you a lot of scriptures, but we only stand, we stand on the word of God. The word of God is what's going to keep us. The word of God is going to change us. And I'm going to break it down in a few minutes. Galatians 5, 15 through 17. And I pray that those of you in radio land that you will write down the scriptures and that you will read them over, that you will put them in your notebook. You know, one of the things about growing stronger in the Lord, you need your notebook, you need your Bible, you need to write down these notes. And then once you write them down, you can go back and you can study them. So the reading of the scripture, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Then I say, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. And I want to repeat three scriptures that we talked about on last week that my instructor really brought out very well, and they are Romans 6, 11, Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 11, then Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read 1 and 3, then I'm going to read 3 and 5. Starting with Romans 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves of sin. Likewise, ye also hearken yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ, alive to God in Christ, Jesus our Lord. And Romans 8, verses 1 through 3, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. I'm going to jump down to 4. I'm going to read 4 and 5. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do not mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we have been talking about living holy in a sinful world. We've been talking about this very subject because of what's going on in our society, what's going on in the society around us. We have so much going on. We have so many storms, like I said when I came on this morning. We have so many storms. We have so much going on. We're living in a world where morality has really just evaporated. People just do whatever they want to do when they want to do it, and they have no remorse. So we're addressing the issue of looking at how we are to live, how the saints, how believers are to live in this world, how we can we live right, how can we walk right, how can we be right and do the right things in this world that is corrupt. Yeah, it's corrupt all the way from the head all the way down. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, y'all. See CNN. But so this lesson, we're talking about the psychological effects of the sin nature, the flesh, and the necessity to purify this flesh. Now, we're living in a world that's corrupt. We're living in a world where the standards of morality has gone out the door. We do what we want, how we want. We have no guilty conscience, so I can walk out and I can shoot somebody and not give a second thought to what I'm doing. But we need to understand that there is a cost, there is a payment, and there is a reality that we are going to have to deal with sin. All right? So the overall theme, again, is living holy in a sinful world. The first week, I laid the plan out. The second week, missionary Rogers talked about the sin nature. Now, we want to talk about the mindset of sin. Now, I said psychological because when you look at psychology deals with the mind and behavior. So we want to understand and address the behaviors of this sin nature, the impact. When we talk about impact, it's the pressing together. It's the force. It's the packing. It's how it's coming together. So when Adam and Eve sin happened, the sin nature happened. Therefore, when the sin nature happened, that created a corrupt way of operating in my flesh. So in essence, I do the wrong things even when I want to do the right things, because this nature that I have ain't right. Okay, so we talked about definitions. We define the flesh. We define what the flesh is. We talked about that part of the forming. So we've been dealing with those definitions. We laid out the sin nature as well. So now we get to the point of defining purify. Now, when we look at purification process, It is to pure, it's to cleanse, it's to cleanse something from decontamination, from defilement, and it's to cleanse, okay? And it's to free from guilt or moral blemish. So when we look at the Bible in Hebrews, the main verses we're talking about, chapter 9, 13 through 14, we understand that there was a process in the Old Testament. There was a purification process, and Numbers outlines this purification process. Numbers 19, verses 1 through 10, also 17 through 19, outlines the purification process, how goats and heifers were used to cleanse the people of God. So this technique was used in order to help the people of Israel be clean. Now, the Mosaic law in Leviticus 11 through 15 talks about what made people unclean. So if they touched something dead, they were considered unclean. Even us females during a period of time would be considered unclean. So if you did something that was outlined in Leviticus 11, chapter 11 through 15, then you would be, in that category, you would be unclean. Okay. And the Bible tells us that even though they were unclean, it doesn't necessarily mean they were committing sins. But we know by Israel's background, by the fact that they were disobedient, and the fact they kept straying away from God's commandments, and the fact that so many prophets had to bring or to declare, look, you need to get right because God says to be holy, for I am holy, but they chose to walk in their own ways. And therefore, a price happened because they decided that they were going to do that. What was the price? The price was bondage. The price was going into captivity. And certainly if you go back to Jeremiah, Jeremiah cried to Israel to say, look, I need y'all to get right. I need y'all to stop doing what y'all doing. I need you to walk upright before God because God ain't playing with us. Mm-hmm. So we're living in a time where sin has overtaken the land, where sin is more celebrated than walking upright before the Lord. So we know that Christ has paid the price for sin by dying on the cross. We know in the beginning, certainly if we go back to Isaiah, Isaiah talks about the coming of the Messiah, that he will be bruised for our transgression. The scriptures talks about that the iniquities will be on his shoulder. So God came that we may have life and that more abundantly. Y'all know that's my favorite scripture. Hallelujah. So by dying on the cross, Christ provides cleansings for our outward uncleanness and also that inward part as well. So the purification by Christ was more equivocally, qualitatively superior to the blood of goats and bulls, or bulls and goats. His blood on the cross said we ain't got to do that ritual of purification anymore. All we need to do is to know that he died. Okay? Now, I want to give you 3 points about this purification, this blood, and certainly and these 3 points is helping us today for this lesson. the purifying is through the Spirit, which Christ offered himself, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 12, 28, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Acts 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit empowered Jesus for ministry, and that same Holy Spirit empowers us for life. That same Holy Spirit quickened Jesus and allowed him to rise from the dead. Now, when we look at purification and when we look at the fact that the lamb, they used the goats and the bullocks and they used lambs, and there needed to be a lamb that was without spot or wrinkle, without sin, and that was Christ. He was born of a virgin and his father impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and his father was God, and therefore he was out sinning. He was tempted strongly, unimaginable. He was bruised. He went to the cross. He was beaten. He was tormented. And yet he said not a mumbling word. So he knew no sin. He was perfect. He was the perfect lamb without spot or blemish. And he offered himself voluntarily to God, Hebrews 9, 26 to 28. So when we look at sin, because we're talking about the sin nature, we're talking about the psychological effects, we're talking about the fact that our morality has changed. We have a concept of our own right and wrong, what's right in our eyes, but yet it's wrong. So when we look at how all of that comes about, how do we look at this stuff and we just have a concept of just being right in our own eyes? Well, when we look at the heart of man, you have killings. You have people that don't think nothing about going into churches and killing in churches, don't think nothing about shooting up schools, don't think nothing about killing kids, don't think nothing about harming one another. We need to understand the heart. Now, the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful. Now, this heart is the physical, emotional, intellectual, and moral activity of an individual. The heart is the center of physical activity. The heart is that thing in the people that is a beating organ that's protected by the ribs. That heart is the central organ that moves the rest of the body. It moves the rest of the body. Okay? So when we look at the heart, Proverbs 4 and 23 talks about guarding your heart for all the issues of life flow. Joy, gladness, pain, and suffering. The heart is the center of hidden emotional, intellectual, and moral activities. So, man looks at the outward appearance, Saul says, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, the heart is that nature. That heart is that place where evil thoughts are formed. That heart is that place that hatred develops. The heart's reasoning as well as its feeling depends on its moral conditions. Jesus said, that from within, out of man's heart comes evil thoughts, Mark 7:21. Because the human heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah 17:9. Folly is found up in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22:15. The Spirit of God must give humans a new heart, Jeremiah 21:33. Through faith that purifies it, Acts 15:9. It is not in man's nature to do good or to obey moral law. Morals have to be taught. A child needs to learn right from wrong. So that child must be trained to do what's right, to listen, to pay attention, to obey instructions. And if that child does not grow up being taught, then that child feels like they can do whatever they want to do without consequences. Young baby, fall out in the store. Oh, that's pretty. But that temper tantrum that falls out in the store will grow up, that child will grow up feeling like they can steal in the store and nothing will happen to them. Their hearts will be hardened. So when you get to a person that does not or has not been taught morals, that feels like they are righteous in their own sight and they feel like they can do whatever they want to do, then you have the impact of a person just feeling like, oh, what the heck, I can do whatever I want to do. But then the Bible says that's not the case. So sin has impacted our very core being, the way we think, the way we act, our consciousness, even our unconsciousness. Our nature, that sin nature, we talked about that, is corrupt. And because it's corrupt, Paul says, I do what I don't want to do. And this is my paraphrasing it. We talked about it on last week. Because the heart, because the sin nature. So even with the mind, now, because the heart is corrupt, that heart will activate the mind, and then out of the mind, the aspect of our intelligence, our consciousness, then it will manifest thoughts, memories, emotions, will, and imaginations, reasoning. So when you look at the heart will activate that mind. When we look at those young people that get upset, that don't seem to have any conflict resolution skills, that get upset with each other, they're arguing in the street, and one says, you know, I'm not going to let you get the best of me, I'm going to go get a gun, and he gets a gun, bam, and shoots that person without thought, just action. Now, when they come to themselves, they may not be sorrowful, but the deed is done by then. That's sin. But we thank God that Christ came. And when he came that we may have life more abundantly. So when we look at the impact, the psychological, the behavior, how we are impacted through this way of living, we still have hope. We still have the blood of Jesus, and we have to walk with him. We have to purify ourselves. We have to seek the Lord daily. We've got to push some things back. And I want to say this, that the sin nature is corrupt, that flesh, the flesh of ours, will go back into old habits. See, when we look at the psychological nature of a thing, when we look at us and when we are creatures of habit, meaning that we do things just out of our unconscious. if we are working, if we're going to school, if we're doing something on a daily basis, and you wonder how you got home, you're driving or you're riding your bike, and all of a sudden you find yourself home because it's embedded. It's in your unconscious. Certain habits, certain rituals, certain things we do them, and we don't think. We just do it because it's there. It's in us. It's in us to do it. And so that's how this body operates. And once we put Christ on it, we have to understand that we have to build the spirit man. We have to build God. We have to build that part of us that will free us and purify us from all uncleansingness, all unrighteousness. And when we talk about the Word of God, that's quick and it's powerful and it's active. So we have got to use the Word. We have got to read the Word. We've got to take time out to study, to read scriptures, to pray, to seek the Lord, because we're living in a time frame where the devil is trying to take us out. He's trying to throw anything and everything at us to make us stop, to make us feel fearful, to make us feel anxious, to make us feel afraid, to make us not walk out of our house, because he's saying, look at all this stuff going on out in the street. You can't walk out your house like this. Stay in your house. But we are empowered through Christ. He says we are more than conquerors through him that strengthens us. So we're conquerors. We know that we win. But there is a mindset. There is a behavior that we must adhere to. We must find ourselves seeking the Lord on a daily basis. We can't afford not to arm ourselves accordingly. We can't afford to be asleep. We can't afford to allow this flesh to rise up. We can't afford to get mad at Susie Q and hold a grudge because she said something we didn't like. Therefore, we're going to hold a grudge. And if we hold a grudge, that grudge builds into hatred. That hatred builds into dislike. That dislike builds into saying and doing something to that individual that we thought that we could never do. The heart is deceitful. And if we don't allow the purification of Christ Jesus through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, we would do stuff that we would normally never do. See, Satan knows your weakness. He knows what will get you going. He knows what will get me going. He knows my weaknesses. He knows your weaknesses. He's not going to use my weaknesses for you, but he's going to use your weaknesses to take you out. And if you not putting the armor upon yourself, if you not seeking the Lord, we've got to turn our TV off because there's so much going on until we've got to arm ourselves accordingly. There's so many storms that's happening. I said we don't even get out of a storm quick, one storm before another one is happening. We need to arm ourselves accordingly. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking God. Talked about prayer. Everything is building upon equipping you with the necessity, with the skills needed to build you up spiritually so that you can stand in this day and time. We're talking about disciples. We're talking about people that understand the times that we're living in, understand that we're living in perilous times, and we ain't got time to joke. We ain't got time to kid. We ain't got time to play around. We need to arm ourselves accordingly, and we need to pray. We need to seek him like never before. Whew. That means taking time. To visit and commune with the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not saying you don't have to watch TV. I'm saying the day is time to build our spirit man. We don't know when the next storm is going to come. We don't know when the next trial, the next time Satan is going to affect and attack our families. And I know those of you on the show today that is called in or on Facebook that's listening to this this blog, this radio show, you know that at some point, if a storm has not happened to you, you know one is on its way. Death is so close to our homes. Tragedy is so close. Disaster is so close. It's so much. And it's just by the grace of God that we're still here today. Violence, even the police chief is in the hospital. They say he's doing okay. But Chicago top cop, as they call him. We are just a prayer away. We don't know what sickness is coming. We don't know how healed or how healthy we are. We can work out, we can eat right, we can do all the right things, and yet death still knocks at our door. We don't know. We don't know when it's coming. We know that our loved ones are being affected. We know that sickness is in the land. We don't know what's operating in our bodies. So we don't know. But we have to arm ourselves accordingly. We have to pray like never before. We have to seek the Lord. We have to bombard heaven. We have to seek him. And therefore, we have to turn our plates back. We have to turn the TV off. We have to set time with the Lord like we set time to exercise. Dr. Kidd, what you talking about? I said we have to set time with the Lord like we set time to exercise. There are schedules. People that exercise on a regular basis have schedules where they exercise their bodies religiously, faithfully. We've got to do that spiritually. Playing time is out. We need to understand that because of sin, because of the immorality of this life, this world, we've got to arm ourselves accordingly, and we've got to stand. We've got to pray. We've got to schedule the time to be in God's presence, because the only way we're going to make it is with having that close relationship. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We thank God that Christ has taken the sting of death away. But we have to be transformed. And in order for us to be transformed, in order for that sin nature to be transformed, it's got to be put under subjection. It's got to be put to the word, as in Hebrews 4 and 12. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you, we magnify you. We thank you for the word that has gone forth. We pray even now, God, that it comes not back void. In Jesus' name we pray. We know that your word is blessed. We know, God, that you're moving and delivering somebody right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, for the things that you're doing. We thank you, God, for the healing nature. We thank you, God, for healing, delivering, and set free. We bind that flesh nature. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We speak healing. We speak deliverance. We thank you, God, that you transforms our lives and our hearts and our minds to walk according to your will, according to your purpose, according to your statutes, according to your will. God, I pray even now, God, give us a mind to seek the more of you, God, like never before, to cry out before you, to pray, God, because we need you, God. This world is evil, and we need you like never before. God, we need you to show up and show out in the name of Jesus. We need you to heal. We need you to deliver right now in the name of Jesus. God, that loved one, God, in the name of Jesus, that one that needs you, God, we need you, God. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we thank you, God. We thank you for joy, joy abundantly, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's moving in us right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's changing, that's rearranging our minds. We're renewing it in the name of Jesus, to think your thoughts, to think your ways in Christ Jesus. We thank you for the purification that you are applying on us and in our lives right now. We thank you, God, that you're changing, that you're delivering, that you're setting us free. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you, we bless you. We thank you, God, for each and every one that was on this line. We thank you, God, for those that are still on and those that had to leave, God. We thank you, God, in all our ways. We acknowledge you, Father God. God, as the authority, as they touch and agreeing with me, God, I speak healing. I speak deliverance on their lives. I speak clarity in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, God, for the things that you're doing right now. We thank you. We exalt you. We lift you up, God. We thank you, God. We're moving right in your right path, in your right direction. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, God. We hallelujah, we bless your name, God. We thank you right now, God, for healing. We thank you for delivering right now. We thank you for your anointing, God. Holy Spirit, encamp in power and touch everyone that listens, everyone that's on the line and has been on the line. We thank you for deliverance. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This is Dr. Carey. You have any calls, you have any questions, give me a text and let me know how well you enjoyed the blog. Any suggestions, 309-750-7584. I'll see you all next week. God bless. Bye-bye.